Amen. So I have preached similar message before, and it's funny how some of you don't know, we alternate. Pastor Val will preach 1 week, and I preach the next, and so on. And 2 weeks ago, I preached on the light of Christ, and Pastor Val, God instilled in her the light message as well, but it was a different perspective. It was amazing. It coincided. And now he wanted me to sort of re-preach this message, which is entitled, Change Starts With You. I'm going to just put these glasses on. Don't mind me. This way I don't miss anything. There I am. See, four eyes are better than two. Go ahead. Be jealous. So I have a quote from an unknown author, and I love this quote. You are only as powerful as the knowledge of your freedom. See, if you don't know you're free, you're going to be stuck in bondage, in captivity, in chains. And it's even like at work, when you do a job, no matter what it is, you have certain areas that is for you to handle. But if you get promoted, you now have more duties, more access, so to speak. But if you don't know you have that access, you're still stuck where you were. You can't receive the full benefits of your new position. So we have a new position. We've been taken out of this world, even though we still live here and we still get bombarded by the things that come against us, but we've been transported into the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that is basically unseen, invisible, and that's where faith comes in. It sounds supernatural and like science fiction, but it's truth. See, the world is physical. You can see it, you can touch it, you can live through it. But the kingdom of God is just that, is by faith. You can't touch it. You can't see it. But you know it's real because you have faith to believe in God. You've gotten that far. Now you have to trust in the rest of what he says. And since we have been adopted into God's kingdom, we are now his children. We now have his inheritance. We now have his empowerment. And our one goal, which God left, that Jesus left before he went up to be with Father God, was go into the world, preach the gospel, and so on. So we are now God's children, released into this world to go into the darkened areas and let our light of Christ shine and teach everybody the ways of the kingdom. And that goes on a whole nother message, because throughout history, Christians have been known as the crazy people. They've done so much harm than good because they haven't followed God's correct rules. God never said go out there and blaspheme people and ridicule them and make fun of them or slander them because they're not a Christian. God said go out and love them. Let them see the love of God, and they will want what you have. But so many Christians today, so many different denominations, do weird things that hurt God more than anything. So that's why we try to teach the truth of the Bible in its entirety as God meant it. And we're going to have some revelations here, some eye-openers here, but mostly I want to show you who you are in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans, I encourage many people, all of you, to read. It's a good read. It's an easy read. There's so much in there. But we're going to start with chapter 8 in verse 14. And I have 4 points I want to make out of these few scriptures we're going to read here. We'll get to them after we read through. We're going to read to verse 17. So 14 to 17, Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So there's 4 points to make out of this. Number one is, God has adopted us to sonship. That means we are his children. Sonship isn't just for men. It's a common phrase meaning child. So we are now God's children, male and female. That was point number one. So what does it mean to be adopted? It means you take on the name of the one who adopts you. So now we have Father God as our father, basically Jesus as our brother, and we have the Spirit of God as well in our hearts. Because when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you're accepting the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And he now leads you and guides you. So how does he lead and guide you? By faith. If you had faith to believe in Jesus Christ, that he was the Savior, and we've accepted him in our heart, by faith we've received the Holy Spirit. By faith, as we read through God's word, it inspires us, it leads us, it teaches us, it guides us, it shows us truth. It reveals all the darkened stuff that the world has been throwing at you. And it shines God's light on it. See, darkness has to flee. In other words, the enemy has to flee. Because as children of God, we are now enlightened. We are bright. We're no longer darkened. We still have our worldly, fleshly desires that we have to overcome, which takes time, but we still walk with God wherever we go. So number two is, we are now God's children. Very crucial point to know. We are adopted into sonship. We become his children. See, God created us. And we all know Adam and Eve messed up. And by messing up, God had to release them from his kingdom. Satan took over. Satan now ruled and commanded the world. So God had sent Jesus to redeem us. There was one thing, one sacrifice that would buy us back, and that was the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And his blood paid the price for us. So now we can legally be adopted back into Father God's kingdom. And our goal is to tell the world this story about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Third thing to know is we are heirs to everything in the kingdom of God. So being heirs means you receive something. So being heirs to the kingdom of God and everything in it means we receive everything God has. We have healing. We have deliverance. We have finances. We have wisdom. Where Satan wanted to keep us in the dark, keep us on the down low. He didn't want to reveal our true potential. So we were slaves. We were abused. We had shame. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they ran and hid, as so often we do. And it said, the Bible says they were in shame because they knew they did something wrong, so they wanted to hide. But God has accepted that and forgiven us and redeemed us. So we no longer have shame. We are now back in right standing with God. We've been redeemed from all the curses that Satan brought upon this world. We have God's kingdom of inheritance to come upon us, and all we have to do is ask. See, now, like any good parent, God will not just drop $1 million in your lap because you need money. God doesn't want spoiled little brats. Try it. He'll tell you. Nope. He knows you can't handle it. So little by little, God will restore stuff to you. Little by little, God will elevate you up and promote you. But with every promotion comes the test. God wants to see where you're at. If you're not ready to handle more, He cannot elevate you. So there are times when Christians just kind of become stagnant because they're afraid to take the next step, or they're just not ready to take the next step. And God will not promote somebody who's not ready. So the fourth thing to know is God's Spirit empowers our spirit to operate according to His will. See, born in this planet, on this earth, in this sinful nature, if you will, we know darkness. And we were born into darkness. Darkness has all the evilness that you can possibly have. But now that we've been enlightened, the light shines, the darkness has to flee. But we only knew what we were taught as children. Many of us didn't have the benefit of being born as a Christian child, being taught godly wisdom from parents. So we know what school teaches us. We know what TV teaches us, movies teach us, friends teach us. And a lot of that's bad stuff. So the Spirit of God now within us will reveal to us, oh, you shouldn't do that. This you can do. That you can't do. And as we read through God's Word, these little things will stick in there, and the Spirit will reveal back to us like a recording. Remember you read this? This is what you should do. This is how you should go about that. And when we get stuck, we pray, God, I'm stuck. Help me through this. God will bring back to remembrance scriptures you read or something godly that will instruct you on which way to go. His Spirit will help you and let you know the right from wrong. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. We'll read a little more on this subject. Galatians 3, starting in verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It takes faith to become a child of God. We can't see Jesus Christ. We only know through the Word of what He has done for us, but we accept Him into our hearts and we become what's called born again. And this is by faith. So by faith, we have all become children of God. Verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that's a whole nother teaching on Abraham and the promises. But everything God promised to Father Abraham was spoken to him that his offspring would become heirs, meaning his descendants, everybody that came after him from that day forward will be heirs to God's promises. And God promises a lot. So we are all heirs. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, you are heirs of everything God has. Go to chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. That further convinces us that we are now heirs. So there's 4 points to get out of this Galatians chapter we just read. Christ gave us His power. So I know some churches call this blasphemous, but it's not. It's written in the Word. Jesus Christ died for us, went to be with the Father. He's sitting at his right hand. And as we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, his Spirit comes and fills us. His Spirit is connected to him. We are sitting in heaven by faith with God. So we have access to heaven. Jesus says throughout his words that everything you have seen me do, you guys will do even greater. So we have God's ability to lay hands on the sick, to proclaim freedom, to deliver, to cast out demons, to pray for people who are in need, to call forth anything we need from heaven, not arrogantly, not pridefully, but humbly. See, we are God's children, meaning we are his hands and feet on this planet. So we do the will of God. We can't just say, hey, Father God, I want to give Saul $1 million right now. We can't supersede God's will. But if God tells us, hey, go over to Saul and lay hands on him and pray for $1 million, we had God's backing to go do that. And when God backs it up, his word will follow through. Someone will come by with one of them big checks for you. Anyway, that's why God leads us and guides us and has us pray for people. That person needs prayer. Go over there. And a lot of times, if you're really obedient to God, God will tell you exactly what that person needs. Other times, God will be silent. So we just need to be obedient, do what God says. He will lead you, guide you, and equip you. And if you don't know what to say, a lot of times you'll say, God, I have no idea what to say to that person. God will fill your mouth. It's amazing how the scriptures just come out. And I'll tell you, as a Christian, walking out there in the world, how many of you can testify to this? Strangers will just walk up to you and start pouring out everything they've gone through in the past week. Or if you see a cashier and they look really depressed or down and you say, what's the matter? Is everything okay? They'll pour out. Why? Because they see the light of Christ on us and they know this is a safe person. This person has something for me. And God will give you either scriptures. Are you okay over there? God will give you scriptures to say, or God will tell you what to do. Pray for her, lay hands on her, give her some wisdom. Sometimes God will even say, just shut up and listen. People need to have someone to vent to talk to just listen to them. But God will give you his power, and he will instruct you. Second thing to know through these scriptures is we as believers, through faith, are all God's children. We're brothers and sisters, all of us. We're now connected to Father God. Third thing to know is we are all equal in God's eyes. No male or female, Jew or Gentile. Which basically means there's no favorites. God loves each of us the same. And if one of you is more prosperous, that just happens to mean that you have achieved what some of us haven't. Meaning, God can trust you more. That's all. Doesn't mean God loves you more. God wants to bless you more. God will equip everybody the same. But God, like I said, will not give you more than you can handle. So if God knows you can't handle a better job, he's not going to give you a better job yet. The enemy will, because the enemy wants to see you suffer. The enemy will make sure he gives you a nice new job. And yes, the enemy can equip you with things. That's how he gets to us. That's how he could deceive us. Because you think, oh, this is from God. So you got to be really careful. Follow the Spirit. What's that? Oh, yeah. Then you find out just how bad it is. And God still gets the blame because you don't realize it's still the enemy. And you say, God, why did you give me this job? What are you doing? No, it wasn't God. So we are all equal. The fourth thing to know is we are no longer slaves to the world. We have been set free. So what does that mean? That means a lot. That means if your job is not cutting it and you're not making it, God, your word says you will provide for me. I am stuck in this job. It is not providing what I need. You are my source, not this job. Help. God will find a way. Either God will promote you in that job, or God will get you another job, or God will get you an increase some other way. But God will take care of you. You're no longer slaves. You don't have to put up what the enemy throws at you. So we're going to move on to James chapter 1. I love saying James because James in the back always goes, huh? James chapter 1, start in verse 19. And here's a section entitled Listening and Doing. Chapter 1, James 1, starting in verse 19. This one might step on a couple of toes a little bit. Bring your feet up. James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, say that's us. That's because God has now made you his children, so we're all brothers and sisters. Usually in the Bible, when it says brothers and sisters, it's talking about Christians, just so you know, which is you. So when you read, ooh, this is about me. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this, which usually means this is important. Take note of it. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Did you ever talk to somebody who will never let you finish? They just boom, instantly come out and it's like, hold on, you don't know what I'm talking about. Stop. So then you have to restart, and before you even finish what you're saying, they're answering what you're saying, and you're like, no, yeah, let me talk. Well, pride gets in the way, and pride starts to make you think you're smarter than everybody else, and it all stems with your self-worth. You're trying to prove yourself to other people, but God says just be slow to speak, and don't become angry. And it goes on, verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, even though we become children of God, we may still be living like the devil, like the God of this world. We're not living like God would want us to, because we're still dealing with ourselves. We haven't let God take over. So you have to accept God's word planted in you and follow it. See, everything a good parent will teach their children is because it's for your benefit. I know for those who have children, you always say to your kid, because I said so. But why? Because I said so. Because we've done it, and we've done it all wrong. And now we know better, so we want to teach you the better way. So we try to instill that on our children, and sometimes it doesn't go through, and they just wind up getting hurt anyway. And that's what happens with God. He tells us, because I said so, it's in my word, when we do our own thing, and we get hurt, and we stumble and fall, and then God's like, okay, come on, let me show you. And God will teach us and train us, and then have us do, and we mess up time and time again, but that's okay. God will always pick us back up. 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. That one sentence, they will be blessed in what they do. If you follow what God says, There's blessing on everything he offers us. Do this and this will happen. Do this and this will happen. But then there's also the curse. Do this and this will happen. So you have to be careful. You have to do what's right in God's eyes. And we've said this before, that old saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do, is absolutely perfect. If you're in a situation and you can't figure it out, what would Jesus do? The Word will tell you exactly what Jesus would do. Try it, and you'll see the results will be a lot better than what you would have done yourself. 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. That is key right there. I can tell you, I know so many Christians that have said so many hurtful, terrible, wrong things that I wouldn't want what they have. And if I was not already a Christian and I heard them speak like that, I wouldn't want any part of it. So there are people who call themselves religious, but yet do nothing for God. There are churches out there who say they're Christians, but they do not do Christian things. So your tongue, on a different note, has the power to destroy, to condemn, to hurt. I could tear somebody down with one sentence, and it'll be lasting hurt in their soul forever. But yet I can praise somebody and lift them up, and that would be an encouragement for them forever. So we got to be careful what we say and do. And usually in the tight situations, bad things will come out of your mouth, and then you regret that. But a lot of times it's too late. You spoke it out. It takes a lot longer to get that thing fixed than if you would have just shut up at the moment. So we have to keep our tongues in check. We have to be careful what we say. God says if you're going to speak to somebody, it should be an edification, always lifting somebody up and encouraging, never tearing down or beating down. 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So not all religion is good. Amen. So I have 3 points to get out of this. 1. Listen to and do what the Word says. Now notice, in order to listen and do, it's an action. There are action words. James chapter 2, don't turn there. Verse 17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So in order to have faith, we need to put action to our faith. Listen and do what the Word says. Point number 2, you have to put action to God's words. Whatever God speaks to you, you have to follow it through with action. You can't just sit there and say, okay, I receive it. God says, you know, I will bless you. Okay, I receive it. And do absolutely nothing about it. Go and do. God will equip you and instruct you along the way. And the third point to get out of this is acting on God's word will always lead to God's blessings. So back to adoption. Since we are adopted into God's kingdom, that means we get new identities. All of our old ways and our old debts have been wiped out. We have been made free and clear in God's eyes. That means everything bad we have done, God forgave us of. From the point of accepting Jesus Christ, our sins have been wiped out. We have been forgiven. Whatever we do after that, we're accountable for. God won't constantly keep wiping out sins unless you repent. See, once we become children of God, born again, and we mess up, that's where repentance comes in. Because now we can say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. And God will be right there to forgive us. But without repentance, that means we haven't forgiven ourselves and we haven't asked God's forgiveness. So God will not forgive us. We must have repentance. So from the standpoint of religion, the one being adopted becomes the same religion as the one who did the adoption. In other words, since Father God adopted us, we have now become Christians. We are now holy because God is holy. See, that's something us as believers really need to get a hold of. We are holy. Set apart for God. We are God's. God is holy. There's nothing evil in God. So we need to be pure. We're going to mess up for sure, yes. But God is always there for us. So in our justification, God has declared us righteous in Christ through his blood. There was a sacrifice that had to be made, and Jesus Christ was that sacrifice to atone for all the sin that was committed. So Jesus' blood was that sacrifice that cleansed us. In our sanctification, God is working to make us righteous in what we do, say, and feel, and think. As the Lord's holy priesthood, we can be sure that his work to sanctify us is not in vain, and that even though we might get discouraged at times, he will most certainly transform us into the holy priest he has designed us to be. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, hold on, I'm not a holy priest, but you are. 1 Peter 2:9, you don't need to turn there unless you want to. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. So you say, but I'm not a minister. I'm not a priest. How could I be? Well, you are. See, God told you to go out and proclaim the gospel to the world. To proclaim the gospel, you must speak. You must preach. You must teach the world God's ways. So God has anointed you as a priest to go out and to do what God has said to do. In Jesus' entire ministry, he went to the quiet place to pray to Father God. Father God, what should I do next? Father God would instruct him on what to do in every step of his way. There's nothing Jesus did on his own. Everything was through prayer. That's what God wants us to do. Everything through prayer. Now, I'm not talking about, okay, God, should I go to Wawa or 7-Eleven? No. Neither. Go to neither. Go to Quick Check. Oh, just so you know. I'm going to tell on my wife and myself. See, I have a habit of going for multiple coffees at Wawa. So she'll go on her phone and she'll track me. And I'll be at Wawa and I'll swipe the card and she'll go, what did you just buy at Wawa? That's not true. No, but she does have an app on her phone that'll let her know when I make transactions. And usually Wawa shows up, so she'll go, what did you buy at Wawa this time? That's what she was talking about. And I'd be like, where is she? How does she know? She finally revealed it. She has the app. Can I borrow someone's car next time I go? I'll be incognito. No,
it's
using the card. Anyway. The book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Again, you don't need to turn there. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Remember, firstborn gets double portion. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, remember kingdom, and a priest to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever. Amen. Amen. So, to be a kingdom and priests. To be a kingdom means, in the flesh, in the natural, here and now, we are all kings. So you are a king of your own flesh, meaning you have the fleshly authority to tell your body no. When it's about to sin, when it's about to fall into temptation or give in to anger or whatever, no. No. And you're a priest, which means you now have the ability to call down spiritual things. See, in the olden days, you would go to the priest to receive healing. The priest would lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But now, since we are connected to Father God through Jesus Christ and we have His Holy Spirit in us, we have the right to say, God, I am priest over my flesh. I am king over my flesh. I call down my inheritance. Father God, I thank you that this flesh will rise up. I thank you that I am healed. I thank you that I have a better job. So we can keep going. I thank you that I have a better vehicle. I have money in my bank. I thank you, Lord, that my increase is coming, that my promotion is coming. And do what God says to do with thanksgiveness in your heart and giving God the glory and the praise. So we have royalty. We have priestly nature in us. So we need to get a hold of the fact of who we are. And that brings us back to the title of this message. Change starts with you. You can only know how much power and authority you have by learning what power and authority you have by reading the Word. If you don't learn any of this, you're going to be a slave. And you're going to be a slave to the enemy who wants to beat you up and destroy you. So you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Once we give our hearts to Christ, believing and trusting in Him alone, especially for our salvation, that's the start of it. God says we become part of His family, not through the natural process of human conception, but through adoption by faith. So God does not leave us in the condition of orphans when He adopts us. He doesn't just say, oh, I adopted you. I'm going to leave you as is. No, He equips us. He loves us. He cherishes us. He hugs us. He cleans us. He provides for us. And then most importantly, He gives us His name. So we are no longer that old person. Still in the natural, we have to walk around with our earthly names. We're still who we are, but we're adopted by someone greater, someone better. So by adopting us, God gave us His Son's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a sign, as proof to our spirit that we are part of His family. And that's why we now have the right to say, Abba, Father, because our spirit is connected with Father God's Spirit. You see, your body is made up of your flesh, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. It's who you are, and your spirit. Your spirit will live forever. It cannot be extinguished. So your spirit will live forever, either in hell, where the Bible says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, because forever your spirit will be burning in hell saying, why didn't I believe in God? Why didn't I just trust? Or your spirit will be alive unto God, and you'll be in heaven where there is no pain, no suffering, no torment, no lack, no disease. And we'll be forever praising God, our Savior. So when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, we are now one with Father God. We know where we're going when we pass on from this world. We were adopted into God's kingdom. God says in His Word that He is a jealous God. He does not want to lose anybody. And it takes a lot for us to get kicked out of the kingdom of God. As long as we got a pure heart and we stay repentive of our wrongdoings, because wrongdoings are going to come. It rains on the just and the unjust, which means stuff is going to come against you, whether you're a believer or not. But the good news is, when it's all said and done, we're going to be in heaven with God. And that's why it's so important we go out and do what God said, minister to the lost. Go and find them. Tell them about the good news. The good news is they don't have to burn in hell for eternity. They can live in peace and harmony in heaven. So we were never God's plan B. We were always God's plan A from the very beginning. Satan came along and tried to put his evilness in the works. But God always had plan A still there. Jesus Christ, his son, who died for us so that we can be alive unto him. Jeremiah 29:11, Andrea's favorite, Don's favorite. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. You should write that on a stick it and put it on your mirror or your refrigerator and quote this over yourself. God knows you. God has plans for you. He wants to prosper you, not to harm you. God wants to prosper us. God wants to restore hope. God wants to give us a future. And in closing, I have John 3:16 to 18. I'm going to read out of the Message Bible. John 3:16, everybody should know. Verses 17 and 18, you should also know. It doesn't just end with John 3:16. And John 3:16 is not just a sticker or a decal on somebody's shirt that you see at the ball game. It means so much more. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go through all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. I just love how the Message writes that. So God loves us, and he is doing everything in his power to make sure we know that. So we, as believers in God, who trust in Jesus Christ, our one commission that Jesus left us before he went into heaven was go into the world and tell everybody about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, of what he has done for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for adopting us as children. We thank you for sending your son, your one and only son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for us, Lord, so that we can become your children once again, that we could be adopted into your kingdom. There is no Jew or Gentile anymore. We're all the same. There's no male or female. You love us all the same. There's no differences. There's no privates. There's no leaders, there's no sergeants, but Father, you love us all equally. And we thank you, Lord, that all the promises that you have written in your word is ours. And Lord, your word says, simply believe and ask, and we shall receive. So Father, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for your word, your wisdom. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that sends us, that leads us, that guides us, that equips us. Father, help us believe who we are in Christ Jesus. Help us renew our thinking, our understanding. Give us wisdom in all areas of our lives. And above all, Lord, forgive us if we've missed anything, if we've wronged others, if we have not shown the love of Christ. Father, we bless you and praise you, and we just want to make our daddy happy. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, I thank you. I got you out on time. Woohoo! I did good. I'm usually long-winded. No. So anyway, enjoy this beautiful day. See you all at 5:30. And bring friends, please. It's going to be good. We're going to have a little bonfire out there. It's going to be great. Well, not really a bonfire, but more like a fire pit. Amen. Go and be blessed. And I do have coffee.